right, the Monty Show on Tuesday, October 16th. Jake, what is this horrible music we're playing?
This is a legendary day. I hope everybody understands what's going on right now. So not only are we playing this garbage music.
Wait. What was that that he said?
I'm trying to. Hold on. Of course it won't do it.
This is a preview file.
Yeah.
Jake, why are we playing copyright-free song?
So for the first time since the dinosaurs died, YouTube is down for whatever reason, so we can't play our usual music. Yeah, I know. I know it's a creative file. I get it, okay? I understand. I don't even know what the name of this song is. We came to the realization YouTube was down, and we were just like, you know, we're just gonna play whatever song, and we're going to go with it.
So this is way too much here on the Monty Show. There's something called copyright-free music so that you can play it and use it wherever you want to use it.
This is a preview file.
Thank you. We get it, Dick. Anyway, the point is, our usual song is Defenses by Gravity, and we play it off of YouTube, but YouTube is down tonight. So,
damn it.
For all users worldwide, YouTube is off right now, which is really weird. So we're stuck with this song.
It's almost done. I want you to know it's almost done. We're almost there. You get it. It's indie.
What's the name of this song?
We get
this
it.
I
honestly don't know. It's under royalty-free music.
Nice. Okay, there you go.
All right, good talk.
Welcome to the Monty Show,
okay.
Tuesday, October 16th. What a crazy day. Tomorrow on the show, tons of NFL. Top five, bottom five teams in the NFL. Real or fake QBs in the NFL. And by the way, tomorrow, isn't tomorrow our 200th show?
I think it might be.
So we have like no special plan for this. It's not like we're going to have special guests because you know how many guests we have on this show. That'd be none. But tomorrow, because this is the Monty Show 199, tomorrow will be the Monty Show 200.
Big day.
Yeah, not
Big day.
Really. We'll just talk about it. Nothing special. But that's tomorrow on the show, and we're doing this today on Tuesday because it's tip-off of the NBA season tonight. We have a huge breaking story out of college football and college basketball that we got to talk about, and we've got the NL and the ALCS going on. So we have got an absolute ton of content for you tonight. And I'll remind you again, make sure you find me this weekend on ESPN Radio Game Night immediately following the NLCS on Saturday. And then I'll be on the Football Frenzy Show on Sunday if there's no ALCS Game 7. So I'm actually going to Bristol this weekend to work with the ESPN
Radio. You're
kind
of a big deal.
Not really. Not at all.
Okay.
No, I just am a talk show host. That's it. I'm kind of a big deal. Anyway, hey, let's get right to it because we're going to get to our NBA preview here in like 5 minutes. But there's two college stories that I think are really significant today. And I think those two stories in order of significance. Number one is Nick Bosa is leaving Ohio State University to go to the National Football League, as in he's done. He'll never play for Ohio State again. That news came out today. Nick Bosa, you know, had this abdominal muscle tear thing. It was a big loss, but he was going to come back and he was going to help that Buckeye defense. I think he's clearly the best defensive player in football, in college football. I think he'll be one of the top probably five picks at worst in the NFL draft. He said today, look, I need to focus on my future. I need to focus on the NFL draft. So I got to step away. He immediately withdrew from Ohio State, and he's now training for the National Football League. Jake, do you like this? What do you think?
I don't like it too much. I we went through this with Christian McCaffrey from Stanford, and I never am a big fan of it. I mean, you signed on for number one in education, but number two, you're the heart of that program. You're one of the mainstays in that program, and at this point, you're pulling away because you want to get paid. And while I understand that, I still don't like the way it sounds or feels. I think it's not a great character move, in my opinion. I think the high character thing, the thing of most integrity to do would be to, you know, just stick with the program. I mean, I get if you can't play or you don't want to play, that's one thing. Like, I understand you got to train. but at least stay with the program through the end of the year. I don't really see why that's too much to ask. I mean, I get that you have to train, but still, I just don't like it.
I have no problem with it. I think this is exactly what the NCAA has forced these guys to do, because whether it's at the university level or beyond that, at the NCAA level, nobody's watching out for the future of these kids. I've talked about this for years, recruiting battles, kids that are academically not able to compete in a classroom are being allowed into fine educational institutions so that they can just play football for 3 months and then they go to the NFL. I think that's completely wrong. But nobody's looking out for these kids. So Nick Bosa has to look out for himself. I have no problem with this. Christian McCaffrey skipping a bowl game, I have no problem with this. Bradley Chubb skipping a bowl game, I have no problem with this. I think, frankly, Nick Bosa is doing exactly what I would tell my son to do. Don't go back, because this is life-altering money he's about to make. Because he, like I said, you're going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft. You're going to get millions and millions of dollars. Why would you risk getting hurt in college football? What happens if he breaks his ankle and never gets to the NFL?
Yeah.
Why would you risk that? Help me understand what's the game.
Like I said, I have no problem with him not playing, but I have a problem with him not continuing to ride out the season with the rest of his team. Like, be there with them, lead them, be part of the program. Like, you signed up for it, yet now you can just pull the plug on it when, you know, your future's at stake. And I understand. I don't even disagree. He's got to look out for himself and make the money, but I it just doesn't...
So he should be forced to hang around with the team.
Yeah, I think if you sign on for a football season, if you're going to an Ohio State caliber of school, if you're going to Alabama or any major school, I think you should have to at least stay in the program through the end of the year. I mean, I just think that's how it should be.
What if they fire the coach? What if the coach quits? What if he pulls a Nick Saban and quits in the middle of the year? What if it's a Bobby Petrino?
I don't know. The what if game is endless. All I'm saying is that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, I completely feel the opposite. I say kudos, Nick Bosa. Exactly the right call to make. And then the FBI scandal in college basketball got much, much more dire today, I think. Because we've all been able to live in this world of, blindness?
Disbelief.
Naivete, whatever you want to call it. Innocence, maybe. You know, a wanting innocence that... Well, Duke is still clean. Duke doesn't cheat. Just sweaty Sean Miller at Arizona pays players. Well, it turns out that might not be the case today. And I want to say this before we even move a step further. There's absolutely no evidence that Duke paid anybody. But we now have a bunch of anecdotal, which is to say peripheral information that's coming in that's painting a picture that looks like Zion Williamson, who was the number one recruit in the class, his dad was telling college coaches and liaisons, because you know how this works, like Adidas guys who's on trial. Adidas is part of this FBI scandal. But he's telling people, if you want Zion to come to your school, I'm going to need a job, you're going to need to buy me a house, and I'm going to need to get paid. And we know that because two coaches from LSU and Kansas are on tape talking about it. And by the way, Zion Williamson didn't go to LSU or Kansas. He went to Duke with the other two of the top recruits in the country. Duke got all three of the top recruits available in the class of 2018. And we're supposed to believe that Zion Williamson was asking everybody else, or Zion's dad, was asking everybody else for cash, a house, and a job, but he didn't ask that of Duke.
Right.
And one of LSU's assistant coaches was on tape saying he was willing to pay that. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you now believing that Duke is paying players?
I believe that almost every school who has any chance of winning a national championship in any sport is paying players. I don't think there's any doubt. And I know that... That's a huge, you know, a big, you know, swath of paint on the wall.
Yeah,
what does
that mean exactly?
I just think that if you're competing, if you're a program, so if you're a Duke, if you're an Ohio State, an Alabama, you know, a UNC, Any kind of high-caliber
program in any sport.
The upper echelon programs are all paying guys because they have the money to do it. Wow. They have the means to do it. And I think if you're telling yourself they're not, you're foolish. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I don't think
football recruits, basketball recruits.
Football, baseball, basketball. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Now, your other sports like maybe soccer, hockey, they probably don't have the money
to do that. You're talking about revenue generating.
I'm talking about revenue generating sports are paying guys, the top guys.
Boy, I sure like to think that that's not happening. I'd sure like to think that Mike Krzyzewski and Duke are not paying players. I'd like to think that you're going to Duke because you want to win a national championship and Coach K is going to help you do that,
and
which
the
is going to help your draft stock.
Yeah. You know, but what is, as in anything else in life, whether it's politics, sports, whatever it may be, what have they done to help us believe that they're true and natural about it? All we've ever heard is, well, Arizona, you know, and DeAndre Ayton, and that came out to be true pretty much for the most part. I mean, you can put two dots together. It's not set in stone. Yeah. But I just think there's not a lot of proof that it didn't happen. And I'm not going to sit here and assume the best in people when we know for a fact that these guys are getting paid.
I'm not going to assume the best in people.
I'm not. I'm not. When there's that much money on the line, when there's that much, you know, when winning means that much.
Jake believes everybody's dirty.
I don't think there's any doubt, man. Don't think there's any doubt.
Sadly, I agree with you. I don't know that I'm willing to put it in those terms where I'm willing to say, well, everybody's dirty. But I'm willing to say that I think every program has done some things that would find them outside of the rule book. And frankly, I'm a little disappointed. This would be like Duke paying players is like Derek Jeter using steroids.
For sure.
You know, it's on that level of disappointment. And maybe I'm naive, and I'm fully willing to admit that. This is shocking to me that Duke is gotten itself pulled into this FBI scandal in the NCAA basketball.
It's just that kind of conversation. That's the biggest part that bothers me. We don't have any proof that they're actually paying players, but look at the nature of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And look at where Zion landed.
The problem is it's not just Zion. It's the top three recruits in college basketball for 2018 all went to Duke. And now in our culture, it just kind of feels like, well, there's no way to land that kind of recruiting class without coughing up cash. You know, that's...
And houses and jobs.
That's what's disappointing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Zion is a really... He's a behemoth. And if for those of you who don't know Zion Williams, and I probably follow youth basketball too closely.
You got to follow is overtime.
Yeah, I'm a big recruiting nut. You know, I follow Bronny James. I follow, you know, Scottie Pippen's kid. Like, I follow a bunch of kids. Because they're the future of basketball. And Zion Williamson is somebody that I have followed for years. And he is an absolute beast. He will be in the NBA a year from now.
Yeah.
You know, like Shareef O'Neal's kid is,
really good.
Right. Well, he's sick now. So Shareef O'Neal's not playing at UCLA this year. He'll be back next year. That's a bummer. I followed that kid for years. So, like, you know the pipeline that's coming, and this year was a particularly fruitful year of college basketball recruits. So how do you fix this? I guess, in a nutshell, to close this conversation, how do you fix this? And the point is, I think you have to let these kids go play pro basketball. If they want to go to Australia, if they want to go to Germany or Spain or wherever, I think you got to let them go. Because it's... You cannot continue to have situations like this Zion Williamson thing, all of these, this FBI NCAA scandal. You can't have LeVar Ball pulling his kids out of middle school. So, you know what I mean? Like high school, pulling his kid out of UCLA. And like, you just can't have that. There's got to be a solution. There's got to be a fix, and it's got to come sooner than later.
Yeah.
That's my whole thing. These kids need to get paid because they're getting paid anyways. That or you need to let schools, pay players. It's that simple. Why to this day a kid cannot profit off of his own autograph or his own likeness is beyond me.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I totally am I'm so frustrated with the NCAA right now.
I think the whole system is very much flawed, and I agree with people who say that, everybody benefits except for the kid. I mean, the kid's only there for, it's like what you were saying. I mean, they're there for 3 months and then they're on to the next.
That's
They're there for a year and they're on to the next, whatever it is.
There's a lot of JUCO college transfers who, you know, wind up playing at a major university for, you know, essentially from, what, August when camp opens until November. And if they're bowl eligible, it's December and January. And then they're done. They're just, they're going on to prep for the NFL combine.
Yeah.
That's a common story in college football. And it's, to me, it's a loophole you got to close. And you got to do that by taking care of the kids. You have to prioritize the kids because they're the ones who make all of that money for the NCAA.
Yep.
Period. All right. Can we talk some NBA basketball?
Yeah, finally. I've been waiting for a long time.
It's Tuesday, October 16th, opening night in the NBA. And, you know, watching Boston play tonight, nice to see Gordon Hayward back on the floor.
Yep.
I know that's probably bittersweet for some. How about Gordon Hayward signing a deal with Anta yesterday?
Not sure I love that, but
are you surprised Nike let him go?
Yeah. I just don't think he would have sold a ton of shoes, to be honest. I don't think he's a big enough star.
And you say that because why?
Because it's just not who he is. He's not star power. Yeah, he's a great player in the NBA. He's not, but he's not star power. He's not KD, LeBron, Kobe, Kyrie. Like, he's not those guys. He's a great player.
But I think he will sell shoes. I mean, and if that's in Asia, I think he will sell shoes. NBA stars are huge. Look at what Jimmer's doing in China. I mean, he will sell shoes. I don't think he'll ever be a get-over guy, Gordon Hayward, selling shoes, but he does play for the Boston Celtics, who I think are one of only a handful of teams who have a chance to actually win a championship this year. So I guess I understand that. But watching Boston, it's nice to see Kyrie and Gordon back on the floor.
Finally seeing the full potential.
Yeah, it's nice to see Steph tonight taking the tunnel shot and making it. It'll be interesting to see the Lakers play in a couple of days. And I'm really excited about this. I am one of the few people who thinks the NBA regular season, A, matters, and B, is entertaining.
Yeah, and I think there's just so many storylines. Whoever your team is, there's something to look for. I think if you're a Lakers fan, the first 20 games are going to be very interesting.
Well, I think the Lakers, and I know people are going to hate this, the Lakers are one of the most intriguing teams in the NBA right now.
Yeah, because I don't think there's a cap on how much success they can have this year. I'm not sitting here saying that they can go out and win a title, but I'm also not sitting here saying they can't do it because they've got one guy who can carry an entire team, and that's LeBron James. You have him on your team, there's no end to what his teams are capable of doing.
And for the first time in a very long time, LeBron's under contract for 4 years. We don't have to talk about him hopping around. We don't have to,
we don't have to wonder about
that.
The decision.
Yeah. That's one of the big storylines, though, because I look at the NBA free agents, and one of the things today that just drives me nuts, I flip on Sirius XM today on the NBA channel, and the first thing I hear this morning, well, what's going to happen after KD goes to the Knicks next year? And it's like, dude, why? We haven't even played a game yet, and we are already surmising that Kevin Durant is leaving Golden State.
I think the puzzle pieces there are Kyrie's going to the Knicks, because I think a lot of people think Kyrie's going to go to the Knicks to be with Porzingis, and that KD will go there, and they'll have this great thing. And
they
didn't extend Porzingis,
by the way. Did you see
that? Yeah, I don't see it. Even if they had, I don't think Kyrie or KD would go to the Knicks, because I don't understand. Why would you go to a team with awful ownership? Why would you go to a team who doesn't know how to win,
hey, listen,
bro?
I could see Kyrie going there, not leaving Boston to go to the Knicks, but yeah. I could see Kyrie at some point being a Knick. My point is this. Listen, I know that Klay Thompson's a big name and the Jimmy Butler saga, and I get it. There's all of these free agents, right?
Yeah.
It's opening night. Are we really going to speculate?
Can we just enjoy it?
Yeah. And as far as KD goes, let me get something very clear here. Kevin Durant's not going to the Knicks. Kevin Durant's got two titles. He's won them back-to-back. He's now a two-time champion and a two-time NBA Finals MVP. That puts him one championship behind LeBron James.
Yes.
LeBron's in the West. One of them's going to win the West and one of them's not. Every single year.
Yep.
And I think that's going to happen for like the next 3 to 5 years. because I don't see Kevin Durant leaving Golden State all of a sudden to go to the Knicks. Do people understand that Kevin Durant's got a legitimate shot to be the most successful player in terms of winning and championships of his generation?
I don't think people realize that. And I think people think the gap between LeBron and KD is bigger than it really is. I get that individual accolades. Yeah, LeBron's got a ton. KD's got a ton. But we're talking about winning championships. And you can say what you want about KD going to the Warriors and, you know, that's a super team, blah, blah, blah. It is what it is, dude. He's close, and I agree with you. He's got the opportunity to be the most winningest player.
And isn't that why he left Oklahoma City? He didn't leave Oklahoma City because he, for any other reason than he wanted to win. So now he's going to leave the place he went and won, and I think he's going to win 3 straight rings. He's going to leave that and go to the Knicks, who are the worst organization maybe in the NBA next to the Sacramento Kings. I don't think that's realistic. It
doesn't make sense.
Makes no sense. Is he going to leave Golden State to go to Washington to play? No, he's not.
And by the way,
it makes no sense.
Who are we kidding? If he was going to leave Golden State, he would probably go to the Lakers. Him and LeBron are very close off the court. It almost makes sense for him to go to LA if he was going to leave somewhere. But I think rather than talking about where these guys are going to go, I think what we need to be talking about is who are the Golden State Warriors if they lose players like Klay Thompson, if they lose one of those core guys.
Because I think Klay's the guy that's leaving Golden State because they can't afford to keep everybody. And Kevin Durant is, with all due respect to Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant's in another stratosphere.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant is arguably the best player in the NBA right now. Arguably.
Depends what you want.
Yeah. And sure, his game is much different than LeBron's, but I think if you are asking me who I want, I'll take LeBron or Kevin Durant. And, you're not going to lose by taking either one. I'm probably taking Kevin Durant because of the age.
Yeah.
He's younger. So, listen, I just want to hit the pause button before we start speculating about Klay. Can we just hit the pause button before we talk
just
about...
Just enjoy the game.
Can Kawhi Leonard play a game in Toronto before we talk about where he's going to be a year from now? You know, that's the thing that drives me nuts. Now, having said that, how many teams realistically in the NBA do you think have a chance to win a championship? Because I have a very specific number in mind.
Yeah, when you first asked me this question, I thought it would be more like... maybe like 6, 7, 8 teams tops. It's really a very select group. It's not a big group. And in the West, I mean, we've got the Warriors. You have to throw the Rockets in there. I know it's mellow, but still they've got a big three technically. The Thunder have to be in there just because, well, they're a playoff team every year. And if you're in the playoffs, you got a shot. But really, in my opinion, it's the Warriors. In the West, it's the Warriors. And then the Lakers are very much on the fringe. I don't know. I feel like it's the Warriors' year in the West all the way.
I think it's 4 teams total. 4. That's it. I think it's Golden State, and I think it's Houston. And we just have to see how Houston gels. But I think Golden State, and I know everybody talks about how good the West is and all the talent. I think Golden State is by far now the best team. If LeBron had another superstar, and I'm talking about as teams are constituted today on Tuesday, October 16th.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Golden State, Boston, and the Raptors. That's it. Because I'm looking at the Sixers tonight getting blown out by the Celtics, and I'm not seeing a better shot out of Ben Simmons. You know how many threes he made tonight? 0. You know how many he took tonight? 0. So all this talk about how Ben Simmons is turned into a shooter didn't happen. The guy didn't even shoot a 3 tonight. I look at Markelle Fultz. He actually looked much better. He looked like a guy who can play in this league. But even he was 2 of 7, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Minus 16, scored 5 points.
Yeah.
You know, like, that tells me the weakness that's in Philadelphia. I think it's Boston and the Raptors in the East, and I think it's Golden State, truly. That's 3 teams that I think have a legitimate shot to win a championship. That's it. Now, you want to throw Houston in there? Sure. LeBron James is on the Lakers? Okay, that means he's got a chance to win a championship. LeBron's always going to be there.
Yeah.
Whether it's him and a bunch of dudes like Cleveland last year, I think this Laker team's better than his Cleveland team last year.
Yeah.
So, sure, he's got a chance. You're going to have to get a superhuman performance out of Brandon Ingram, which means he'd actually have to gain some weight and eat some carbs, which we haven't seen yet. And please, somebody tell Brandon Ingram, dude, you just, he's a strange dude. He's, Brandon Ingram is not the most normal guy in the world. He is an odd dude. What do you...
Just the way... His vibe is just different.
Like, yeah, his
just,
vibe is very... He's very chill. I was going to say, somebody needs to tell Brandon Ingram to turn up the excitement.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to... But that's just not who he is. Kuzma's good. I want to see what Lonzo does. Sure, there's a shot because LeBron's on that team. They're not going to win a championship this year. 50-32, fourth in the West, is their high watermark, period. In my mind. I think Golden State has a chance to win 65, 66 games. You know, I think they can do that. Houston, I don't think Houston.
We don't know what that team is.
I don't
is.
Think they're the same team. I really don't think they're the same team. We'll see. I'm defensively, will they be the same? I don't know.
Ask Carmelo, because he's filling in.
Well, it's filling in for who?
Ariza.
You know what?
PJ Tucker.
It'll be interesting to me to see if you look at Houston. It's Chris Paul. Is Chris Paul healthy? I know what James Harden can do. But even James Harden, he was not good the last 2 weeks of the regular season. And he was absolutely in a shooting slump, you know, like during the playoffs. And you've added Clint Capella, who you paid a ton of money to keep. And you've added Marquese Chris, who we know very well from Phoenix. He's got so much to prove. And you're right about PJ Tucker. I like him coming off the bench behind Carmelo. I like that. I like Eric Gordon. I don't like Michael Carter-Williams.
Yeah.
That doesn't do it. Brandon Knight, that doesn't do anything for me. This team is Carmelo, James Harden, and Chris Paul. Those are the guys who are going to score. Clint Capella is going to be a good paint defender, but he's not going to be able to play. Again, this is another guy who was very limited late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's just today's NBA. But this is why the Warriors are so good, because Draymond does play.
Yeah.
And he will play.
He can play the middle. And Golden State added Boogie Cousins, like all this stuff.
It's funny how the best team got better.
And they got better because guys want to go there. And that's my point about the Lakers. Now, obviously, we can't anticipate what's going to happen at the trade deadline, but there's a real good chance that, hey, maybe the Lakers do add another superstar at the trade deadline. They have the cap space to do it.
Yeah, but I think you're exactly right with their mindset. I mean, I think it really depends on where they're at and who they are. What is the identity of the Lakers at the trade deadline? Are they a team that is winning and up in the top? Like, are you top three in the West at the deadline? I don't think you will be. I don't think anybody thinks you will be. Let's say by some happenstance they are. Okay, they probably go and make a trade and try to make a title run. Because
you have to get a better big man. They need somebody who can bang in the middle. Because JaVale McGee is a nice little story. But he's not a guy that, again, you can't play him probably in the fourth quarter at all. So is LeBron going to wind up guarding the five? Is it going to be Kyle Kuzma who's going to play the other team's big? You know, like, it's an interesting mix of guys. You better truly have this incredible performance that Rajon Rondo's talking about. Did you hear what he said today? Rajon Rondo said today, listen, I came here because I want to be the first player to ever win a championship with Boston and the Lakers. Like, that's a truly profound... I never thought Rajon Rondo would blow my mind. When I heard that, I was like, holy cow, Rajon Rondo just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Think about that. Nobody... He wants to do something nobody's ever done. Now, there's so much that's out of his control, including his age, because Father Time remains undefeated.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of motivation.
Yeah.
You know, so...
And it's real. I mean, I find myself and my gut instinct telling me this team is going to be better than we think they will be. I don't think that's title good,
50
though.
50-32.
I think that's, on opening night, that's a very realistic expectation.
Fourth in the West.
But I think they could be better. It depends what kind of performance. Who is Brandon Ingram? We know who Kyle Kuzma is. We know he's got a deadly jumper. We know he'll make the corner three. We know he's going to be LeBron's guy. We know that.
Who gets Kemba Walker?
I don't know.
They've tried to trade him. You know, he's...
Would you trade Kemba for Lonzo?
Yeah, every day.
Mm-hmm.
every day. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you would. I look at guys like, I think you need a true scorer at the point. They need as much 3-point shooting as they can get. And they need to get better in the middle. There's so many guys that are going to be free agents that you look at and you're like, damn, if the Lakers trade for this guy, you know, they're not trading for Kyrie. They're not trading for Klay Thompson.
No, no.
Would they have the balls to trade for Jimmy Butler?
I think it would just be foolish.
Yeah. Does Jimmy Butler want to play with the Lakers?
Do the Lakers want to play with Jimmy Butler?
Who knows? Yeah. Let's see. Jimmy's going to play on opening night. You know, let's see what he turns into. I look at some of the other guys that are available, and it's like it just is.
The Lakers,
you have to wait and see.
Exactly. The Lakers have the ability to continue to make great choices, because that's what they've done realistically. If you go all the way back to who they were at the beginning of last year, it's been a maturation of the organization, right? You've let some guys go. You figured out the Luol Deng thing. You know, Lonzo got better. Like, you brought in LeBron. Everything's worked out great so far, but now you're at a point, and again, this is still, it should be said, this is still a big time for this organization.
Massive.
In the front office, particularly. You're exactly right. If they make, let's just say, if they went out and traded Lonzo for the wrong caliber of talent, let's say they got a guy who was worse than Lonzo. Dragic is a great example. Perfect poll right there. You trade Lonzo for Goran, that's a mistake. That is a misstep. Now, if you trade Lonzo for Kemba Walker, now we're cooking.
Lonzo for Klay Thompson.
You know, like, if you can package something together that really works and improves the team, and at the deadline, all of a sudden, you've got this breath of fresh air of a new voice in the locker room, and it's working, and it's great. You don't know how high this team can finish, because this team will be capable of beating teams like the Thunder and the Rockets. I guarantee it. Guaranteed, because they're going to play really good defense,
yeah.
And LeBron is going to get after it.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that the NBA is back. I love it. I'm really looking forward to watching Golden State play tonight. I'm really looking forward to
in games that matter.
You know, yeah, just seeing what this league turns into. I'm really looking forward to Kawhi in Toronto. I know that's crazy. I do think Toronto's got a chance. By the way, Boston was as advertised tonight. Dropped 120 points. Gordon looked like he was trying to figure it out. Kyrie and Gordon looked really rusty. But I'm telling you, Jason Tatum looks like the kid that's going to own the league this year.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like a guy that spent a lot of time working out with Kobe.
Yeah.
Which he did.
Yeah.
He looks like that guy. You know, his ability to get to the basket, throwing a shoulder into a guy's chest and hitting a step back. Like, it's that kind of thing where you're like, good Lord. If he's making that, we're all in trouble.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think if you've been following, again, you and I are huge NBA fans, so we follow the offseason obsessively. There's so many Instagram accounts that have tape out on these guys working out and just doing great things and working on things. And you're right. Jason Tatum is and has the ability to put up the Kobe fadeaway. He's got those kind of moves. Remember, this guy came into the league ready to go as a scorer. He needed to mature a little bit with his body. He was getting out physical, but he came into the league very polished as a scorer. So this being his second year, there's no telling who this guy's going to be. And I think you're exactly right saying that he's going to take over the league. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. We saw him tonight, great Euro step, no fear going into the paint, bullying people. Like, he looks good, man.
I think Boston's going to be a handful, man. I really do. I think there's just so many guys available. Like, why did the Knicks not sign Porzingis to that rookie contract extension? Well, the knee surgery, are they going to try and leverage him? There's some talk that the Knicks didn't do that because Jimmy Dolan wants to sell the team. Like, there's all these intriguing little storylines, and I just don't know. I don't know how anybody in the East is better than Boston. Like, and I'm trying to find, you know, the guy that is like, well, the Celtics extend or the Pacers extended Miles Turner.
Neat.
And that's cool and everything. And he was a good player, but dude.
But then naturally where I go is, okay, well, we know that the Celtics are the front runner in the East. What do the matchups look like against Golden State, who's the front runner in the West?
And very good. I think very good. You disagree?
I Tell me where they win. Okay, so you're going to say Kyrie's going to win the Curry matchup. Fine, I can respect that. I almost agree with it because I think he will. But again, I find myself saying, who's going to win the Klay Thompson-Jason Tatum matchup?
Jason Tatum. Jason, he's a killer, dude. He is absolutely a killer. You saw him tonight. We watched that game together. Are you kidding me? Jason Tatum like a guy that's ready to he's ready to win an MVP this year. He looked that good tonight. Now, it's opening night, and our great overreaction take of the show is probably, Jason Tatum, the best player in the world. I'm not saying that. But he looks like a guy that can carry that team.
Yeah. I still wonder, though. I don't know. I think Klay Thompson is more than capable of hanging with him. I mean, even the best defender is not going to shut down a great offensive player. It's not going to happen. But I still think he's capable of slowing him down. The question for me at the end of the day is always going to be, how do teams deal with KD and Draymond defensively and offensively?
I think Jason Tatum winds up on KD, and I think Jaylen Brown winds up on Klay Thompson. So, and I think Jaylen could take Klay Thompson. I think it's very close. Klay's always going to get his. They have so many sets for Klay Thompson that I think Klay's always going to get his. But my bigger question about Boston is, you know, who are the five best players on that team? Because is it Kyrie, Jaylen, Gordon, Marcus Morris? Like how Marcus Morris is what, seventh on that team? He's going to be their seventh or eighth guy. Marcus Morris can play. Like, how are you going to get minutes for Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart and Kyrie Irving and Jaylen Brown? And yet you're going to have, when they're talking about when Kyrie isn't in the game, that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown will split bringing the ball up. They want Gordon Hayward to have the ball in his hand. Well, from what we saw tonight, Gordon's going to be a guy that's going to wind up in the corner spotting up. He's going to be on the wing. Like, how do you defend them? And we haven't even talked about Aaron Baines. We haven't even talked about Semi Ojeleye. Like, how are they going to get all these guys minutes? Daniel Tice is back
nobody
played
knows
tonight.
About him either.
You know, like, they have so many guys that they're never going to be tired.
Yeah.
Terry Rozier is another one of those guys that he's a bit of a wild card.
I think if he's your sixth man, you're in outstanding shape. I mean, he could be sixth man of the year kind of player. I mean,
so
he comes in and will give you 15 to 20.
We're talking about a team in Boston that we don't know how they're going to get minutes for everybody. Okay, well, Steph, Klay, KD, Draymond, who's their starting center? It's probably Jordan Bell.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, if it's Jordan Bell.
Because I don't think people realize Boogie's not going to play for the whole year here.
Right, he's probably not going to play until late in 2018, early 2019.
Yeah, so I mean, Jordan Bell is going to have to play a lot of minutes.
Iguodala? Kevon Looney? Sean Livingston?
Those are guys that rotate. Those are all guys that rotate. Those are not guys who would start.
Right, but no, my point is you gotta find minutes for all these guys in Boston. Well, if Kevon Looney doesn't play a whole lot of minutes. No, okay.
They don't need him to. That's the best part.
Right. I actually think Boston's deeper.
Yeah.
Boston's more talented in their depth than Golden State is. So the matchups, to me, favor Boston. I think Steph, I'd rather have a healthy Kyrie, but there's the X factor. Is Kyrie even available to you in the second half of the season?
I mean, I got to think this year he is, but you just never know.
Yeah.
You really never know.
It'll be fascinating. My point is, I think there's three, maybe four teams.
And I'll be happy. If it's Warriors-Celtics, I'll be very happy. That's a great matchup.
That'd be
awesome.
And
I think that goes very deep. That could be a seven-gamer, for sure.
You're a DeMar DeRozan guy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel if Toronto gets out of the East?
I think it's a complete slap in the face to DeMar DeRozan, and I think it says to him that, hey, you need to figure it out.
Because, it validates Toronto.
Oh, for sure it does. Let's say they get out of the East, you're right, and they get to the finals somehow, some way. It 100% validates Toronto's decision. I still think they're still always going to have egg on their face, as they say. That was an awful decision in the moment. But, hey, if Kawhi comes in and it's all good, I think they will be fine. I think it validates
them. Let's also not forget that they fired their head coach. And,
which is amazing to me.
Yeah. I mean, they hired a guy who a ton of people don't even know who Nick Nurse is. You know, like, that's the amazing part about Toronto. But is even Toronto deep enough? If I said to you, oh, yeah, Toronto is going to unseat Boston as the best team in the East, because it's not the Cavs anymore, right?
No.
Like, can you even in your head put together their starting five? I think a lot of people don't realize that Danny Green is there.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people – well, yeah, people don't know about that. But I, last year, let's not forget, we were talking about how the Raptors had one of the best benches in the regular season, and by the way, they completely disappeared in the postseason, which, again, as I say about baseball players, it's not that's not surprising to me.
Yeah.
These guys are not playoff experience. These guys don't know what it feels like. These guys don't understand the pressure. So I wouldn't be surprised. Again, this could be a dark horse team coming out of the East.
Not with Valanciunas at center. I'm not a Valanciunas guy.
I would rather have Valanciunas than Baines. I think he owns Baines.
Poeltl or Valanciunas?
Probably Valanciunas, because I think he's more physical, and I think you need that.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of that. You know why? Because I think Poeltl works because they have Serge Ibaka, who can play the four or the five.
Yeah, true.
You know, so I don't love Greg Monroe. C.J. Miles and DeLon Wright are going to be nice coming off their bench. Fred VanVleet's going to be nice. Like, what is Norman Powell? You know, like, I just don't see the depth in Toronto. I see dominant depth in Boston if they stay healthy. Again, last year, who knows? But I look at the East and the West. I truly think they're one-team leagues. One-team conferences.
Legit one-team conferences.
Yeah, Boston and Golden State. And it's sad that that's what the NBA has come to. And it's a long season. You know, and you look at a lot of teams. There's a lot of upstart teams. You know, think about all the teams who today, not to be a buzzkill, but who today are like, oh, you're crazy. We're going to win a championship. We're playing. We're going to surprise everybody.
Right.
Okay, well, answer me this, genius. Who in the East? What, is Charlotte? Atlanta? No. Chicago? Hell no. Cleveland? Detroit? Maybe. Indiana certainly is an upstart team. Indiana would like you to believe that they've got a legitimate chance.
Milwaukee is the team in the East that needs to be better this year. I mean, you completely let us down last year. They should be a top eight team.
But what about Indiana? What about Victor Oladipo? What about, like, is that a team that you're just not even considering?
It's not that I'm not considering them, but, I mean, to make the postseason, yeah, I am. But to win a championship, no, I'm not. I'm not.
Collison, Oladipo, Bogdanovich, Thaddeus Young, and Miles Turner.
It took an absolute miracle performance out of Bogdanovich last year for them to even be in the conversation to win the series.
They added Tyreke Evans, who I think is one of the best offseason additions that nobody's talking about.
I mean, it might be a nice addition, but I'm just saying.
Sabonis?
Think about firepower. You're sitting here talking about firepower. They're not. That's not even in the same ballpark.
But what, they got Doug McDermott.
Wow, that's great. Dougie McBuckets coming from the Bulls. Awesome.
How long has it been since he was on the Bulls?
Forever.
7 years. Okay, so you're not a Pacer believer. What about Miami? No. What about Milwaukee? What's wrong with Milwaukee?
I just think they don't know how to win. I think they're just not there yet as an organization. I don't think that they haven't been good for a long time. I think Giannis is ready this year. You want to talk about a guy who can be an MVP this year? Giannis can be an MVP this year. He's that good. He's absolutely that good. And in a weak East, I think he could absolutely be a front runner for MVP.
Brooke Lopez instead of Greg Monroe. That's a nice upgrade.
It is. Yeah.
You know,
because he can shoot the three.
Lopez, Giannis. And again, Chris Middleton's a guy that everybody, you know, nobody's talking about. What about out West? Who are the teams out West? Like, what do you say to Jazz fans?
I think you're hoping for a top four finish again. That's your goal.
You don't think there's any way the Jazz?
No.
I mean, they won a playoff series last year. You got to feel good about that.
Would you agree that win? I get that they won the series, and I'm not trying to take that away from them. But wouldn't you agree the expectation was the Thunder were going to win that series, and the Thunder got beat mentally, not physically? Because I think there were a lot of antics in that series. I thought Ricky Rubio did a great job getting in Westbrook's head. Like, there was a lot of that went back and forth.
Yeah. I think the Jazz were the better team. Were you surprised? I don't think I was surprised. I can't say I was surprised that the Jazz won that series.
Talent-wise, it was surprising. But I think team basketball-wise, the Jazz play a great brand of team basketball.
They're the best defensive team in the NBA.
Yeah.
When Rudy Gobert is on the floor, which is not the last 5 minutes of the game.
Hmm.
You know, like that's a huge problem. But that this also is a team that I think with a healthy Ricky Rubio, which killed them, obviously. But you look at, obviously, Donovan's there. Rubio, Ingles, Favors is, you know, back. Gobert's back. Dante Exum, how much you'd expect out of Dante Exum?
Well, quite a bit. Yeah. I think he needs to have another improvement year. He needs to keep growing and progressing.
Yeah. Royce O'Neal, Jay Crowder completely changed his body.
Yeah, I like Crowder a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they have some guys. And I expect Grayson Allen to be spectacular. I expect him to contend for Rookie of the Year. I know I'm probably the only one, but
I'm not a Grayson guy. And if he pulls that tripping garbage in the NBA,
that's not gonna.
You can't live that down, bro. You're going. Listen. Him and Draymond are on the couch eating chips in the offseason together. That's who this guy is. Like, I don't have any questions about that. You showed me who you are. Duke is Duke. Did you make some money? Maybe. But you tripped a lot of guys.
I like that. I'm just thrilled we're talking NBA again. I'm so glad it's back. I really am. Hey, before we get out of here, though, we do need to switch gears. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. Major League Baseball, Red Sox won 8-2 today. They lead the ALCS over Houston 2-1. Surprised? What are your thoughts?
A little bit surprised, yeah. I surprised that they pounded them at home. I get that Jackie Bradley had the grand slam, and that's cool and
it's
everything.
It wasn't Jackie Bradley that hit the grand slam. It was JBJ.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. JBJ. My bad. JBJ. Not the JBA. JBJ. Sorry. Yeah. Had the grand slam. I mean, it's cool and everything, but I'm not a Red Sox guy. I don't want them to win the World Series. I'd much rather see the Astros repeat.
Yeah, but look at what their bullpen did today. I mean, what do you think about what Boston's bullpen did?
This Brazier fellow, I don't know where they got him.
He's a young fellow.
Yeah, I don't know where he got him, but his snide little head turn when he's looking in for signs, it first off annoys me. Second off, I hate that he throws like 98. And third off, I hope he gets hit. I don't like him. I don't like his attitude. Ow. I love him, though?
What?
I love the fact that he told, I can't remember who he did it to, but he told the guy to get your ass back in the box, and I love guys like that.
But you know what you hate about him? Everything. You know why? Because he plays for Boston.
Yeah.
Who you can't stand.
Yeah.
Their bullpen was amazing. Even Fight Me Joe Kelly today managed to get through a game without throwing at somebody.
Impressive. And all you people saying he didn't intentionally throw at him, he threw at him.
Stop. Not to keep dropping names and stuff, but I was on game night on ESPN Radio Saturday night when that happened, and Danny Graves, the 11-year Major League Baseball vet, and I talked about this on the air, and he said, oh, no doubt about it. That's who this guy is.
Yeah.
Just like, no doubt about
it. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? No question. I'm surprised that the Boston bullpen is outworking the Astros bullpen, especially in a game like this that I thought was critical for Houston. If Houston would have won this game, I really feel like they would have stepped forward and taken control of the series. And now that script has kind of been flipped, and it's because I think we're seeing too many pitching changes too early.
Yeah.
I think we are going into this, or continuing this phase, really, of too heavily relying on our bullpen, where we wind up with Dallas Keuchel throwing 84 pitches in 5 innings, so they yank him, even though he'd only given up 4 runs, 4 hits, and 2 earned.
Yeah.
You know, like, why did you yank him there?
That's for Keuchel, that's a pretty good postseason outing, and I don't think that you should have taken him out. But also, I understand in today's day and age when your bullpen it's essentially responsible for anything after the fifth inning. I think that's just where we're at. I mean, Keuchel's not an ace anymore.
But then you bring in Joe Smith, and what immediately happens?
Lit.
He gives up a run. And then you bring in Tony Sipp and Presley, and you get to Ozuna, and he gets lit for 5 earned runs. You know, and then McHugh and Rondon also pitch.
By the way, why are you not throwing McCullers? I love that they had used him in relief.
Yeah.
I really like that. I thought he gave them good outs. But I don't know, man. They don't have the honest truth about it is they don't have a bullpen that can hang with the Red Sox, in my opinion. I think the Red Sox do have the better bullpen, but that's the frustrating part. The Yankees have a better bullpen than the Red Sox do, and they still lost.
Well, it's Porcello and Morton tomorrow. And I think that's just going to be
an unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to be an unbelievable matchup. He's looked really good coming out of the bullpen. I really like Charlie Morton. It's in Houston. I think this is going to wind up probably being a 6-7 game series. It's going to go deep. I think that's an incredible matchup. And then I look at Milwaukee, and you and I have talked about this for months because screw Milwaukee, the way they treated my Cubs, who, by the way, hired an old friend to be their hitting coach. We'll talk about that at some other date. But I think Milwaukee's the best team in the playoffs right now. Who's better than the Milwaukee Brewers right now?
The Red Sox are better.
No.
Yeah, they are.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
The Milwaukee bullpen, I think, is elite. If Jeffress would stop, if they would stop throwing him as a setup guy, which, and I still.
He's their all-purpose guy. Anytime you need
outs,
he's coming
that.
In.
I don't get that.
Why do you? What do you not get about it?
Because his stuff. Like Knebel should be the guy that is closing games. Like you, why is Jeffress closing games?
Because that's who he is. When you need outs, you bring Jeffress in. When you need a clean inning, okay, bring Knebel in. But when when it's the Dodgers and you desperately need to win that game, Jeffress is your guy. But I thought it was a little risky bringing him in. He's clearly tired. In my opinion, he's a little tired. His command was not great last night. His slider is up. I get that guys are taking it, but you continue to throw that slider there, people will hit that pitch.
Knebel, 1 2/3, 4 strikeouts, no hits, no runs.
It's a lot of innings on him.
Right, but Knebel is able to throw 96-97 at the top of the strike zone, and the Dodgers cannot hit that. Jeffress is trying to throw splits, and he's slider, and he's – it's like, dude – if you want a guy to come in and slam the door on the Dodgers, why not pitch Knebel as your closer? Especially in an era where nobody seems to have a role in a bullpen. The closer is not special anymore.
No.
You know, like, use your guys in their best, use position where you're going to get the highest production from them. For the Brewers, in my opinion, Knebel should be closing games. Jeffress should be the guy that comes in specific situations, because I just don't trust the guy. He's a guy that when you watch him pitch, and furthermore, why is Hader not closing? Why, you know, like, to me, it should be Jeffress, Hader, Knebel. Like, Hader's unhittable at this point. So maybe it's even Jeffress, Knebel, Hader. I don't care. But Jeffress should not be closing games for Milwaukee. Having said all that, I think Milwaukee's the best team left in baseball right now.
We disagree. I don't. They're not better than the Red Sox, and I don't.
Are
know.
They better than the Dodgers?
Yeah. Well, right now they're better than the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are really struggling with their approach. I think the Machado thing. I'm better than hustling. Like, I don't like that at all. That's
yeah.
Who he
how about
is,
that
though.
Today? Manny Machado said in an interview that he was asked, "Well, why didn't you run out that ground ball deep into the shortstop hole?" And he said, "Well, that's just not who I am." It's like, wow, really? And he essentially said, well, your chance of beating that out is almost none. So why am I going to run hard? It's like, dude, you're an ass. Like, you're going
to
get
so many reasons to run hard on that.
You're going to get $350 million for not running hard out of the box. He said, well, you know, the shortstop's already got the ball by the time I'm out of the box. I that's amazing to me. He doesn't play hard. He doesn't run the bases hard. Like, he just did. I don't want Manny Machado on my team. I don't. And for my money, I'm not giving him $350 million. Somebody will. I'm not. I'm not doing that. So I thought that story was mind-numbing. But I think at this point, I think we're going to see. I still think Houston wins that series. I still think Houston wins that series. I think it's a Houston-Milwaukee World Series, which would be terrible. No offense, Houston. No offense.
That'd be awful for baseball.
Well, wait. Tons of offense to Milwaukee. Because, by the way, screw Milwaukee.
Yeah.
With the Packers and...
Don't even get me started on that absolute choke job by the 49ers. I mean, an absolute
choke.
Well,
it's not even the choke. No. No.
No.
No.
We're not doing it.
I'm not doing it, man.
Stop.
I ain't doing it.
There's too many positive vibes about the NBA. Don't get us started.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Yeah. We'll rip Aaron Rodgers tomorrow. No, we won't. We'll just rip the media who shined Aaron Rodgers for like 3 hours last night. The GOAT. Maybe you've heard of Tom Brady. I don't know. Well, Aaron Rodgers is a GOAT. Maybe you heard of Tom Brady.
Does Rodgers have a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Wait.
Yes, he does.
Does Brady have...
Brady's got like 11 Super Bowls.
Yeah. Okay.
Whatever. Anyway, tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I think Milwaukee and Houston would be terrible for baseball. I mean, if you could have a Boston-LA series, that'd be great for baseball, ratings-wise. But, you know, we'll see. I just think Milwaukee's the better team. And I think they're the better team by a lot. And just as I say that, they tie the game with the Dodgers. One other story I want to get to, Angels. They opted out of their lease at the Big A.
Yeah, they need a new stadium. And what I like about it is I think they're very smart because they know that they're not the front runner team in LA. It's obvious. It's no secret. The Dodgers are the premier team. But I think the Angels understand that they have a following. They have that certain niche person that likes the Angels. And I think they're going to use that to their advantage. And I think they understand that if they can keep Mike Trout for his entire career, which would be a shame, by the way. But if they can do that, and they can get a new stadium, and can have a lot of nice things going for them, I think that will be good for that organization.
They're not leaving. I don't think they're leaving Orange County. But B, I think they definitely need a new stadium. And if the city of Anaheim were smart, they would redevelop the Big A and try to figure out a place for the Angels to play for whatever it would be, a year and a half, 2 years. That's, in my opinion, that's what they should do. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. I'm not even, you know, I don't think that will happen.
Yeah.
But my guess is it will be something in that sort.
Yeah.
That best case for everybody is that they stay right there because Disney's right there. Like, it's a really good...
It works.
Yeah, it works. If they wind up in a, you know, just reading the tea leaves today that, you know, Tustin is where everybody thinks they're going to end up, it's expensive to develop any kind of stadium outside of football in California. Like, obviously, billions are being spent on the Rams' new stadium. So I don't know where you find $1 billion for a baseball stadium in 2018, 2019. Man. That's just so much money. And you're still paying Josh Hamilton, I think. And Albert Pujols, you can't afford it. Whatever. Anyway, are you going to play the same crappy music that we came in
with?
This
is a new song.
Whoa,
bro, this is like cosmic.
Bro.
Hopefully by this time tomorrow, YouTube is back up and working.
What, you don't like this vibe right now? Come on.
I actually don't. Make sure you find us on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You can find our podcast anywhere you get podcasts, which you already know, obviously, because, well, this is a podcast, so you got it somewhere. Catch me on ESPN Radio this weekend. Until tomorrow, top five, bottom five in the NFL, real or fake QBs, much more on the NBA, much more on Major League Baseball. That's tomorrow on the show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.